Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery, leadership revolution, and life success. Learn something new from our mentoring conversation today. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Guess what? We've got a real treat. So Mickey Mikeworth is back here to finish our last five tips for math for consultants. Mickey's primary business is Mikeworth Consulting, a private planning firm whose goal is to guide individuals and businesses toward resource innovation to attract wealth faster and more efficiently. She's already doing that for you. She did that in our last session. I'm sure you've made the most of the her advice and the tips. So I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Email me, nancy@wementor.com. I want to know how you're implementing her advice. She's often called the resource guru by her clients for her ability to help them identify fresh approaches to building value in their financial life by putting personal values as the primary driver for decision-making. Mickey's areas of expertise are keynote speaking, workshops, lectures, custom full semester financial education programs, training for nonprofit groups and outreach workers, and small business consulting. Her ideas are years ahead of trend and change the whole framework of how people view money. Your practical advice is what is the game changer. Thanks for being here. How are you?
I'm always happy to be here. Yeah. You know, I am beaming.
Yes. I love see you here. So radiant. There's like an aura around your head.
Well, you know, again, we you know, you and I sometimes tackle really, really complex things.
Yeah.
And kind of try to break them down so that people can get, you know, get on their journey.
Yeah, exactly.
And get there. And this is a really good topic for a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first tip you said was to learn to make all the money that you need for the week in one day.
Yeah.
And
change the energy.
Yeah. Shift the energy. And it really makes you look at your time differently.
And for those of you who were here, it should feel like a stab in the heart if it worries you.
Exactly. And you talked about that, you know, businesses have a 7-year pattern, mm-hmm. And so does the market.
Yep.
So,
but 5 years to build a practice.
Yeah,
it's gonna
absolutely.
Take you 5 years.
And then the second tip is to set realistic timelines and clear goals. Most practices, no matter what type it is, whether it's a dental practice, et cetera, you need to take the time initially to plan.
Yeah.
Okay. And the third one is the bread and butter clients. So you use the analogy of a hair salon.
Yep, a barber.
A barber.
Yep.
Okay, where they have clients every 3 weeks who need a short haircut.
Yep, and they're going to get them in and out in 15 minutes.
Exactly.
So you're going to be in and out.
Yeah. Same amount every 3 weeks, just boom, 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 boom.
Chiropractors work on the same model.
Right. And
you're in, you're out.
Right. And it's steady cash flow.
Yep.
Absolutely. Okay. The fourth tip was to evaluate where time is invested. So formulate a real life equation based on life force energy. For example, if you can only build your partnership, your business part-time, it's going to take 5 years. I mean more than 5 years.
That, right?
It's going to take 10 years.
Yep.
Yeah.
A practice takes 10,000 hours.
Right, exactly.
To build. And to make it functional, you know, so that you can actually keep a living every week off of it. You really have 10,000 hours of work ahead of you.
Yeah. And then our fifth tip is you talked about new business needs to invest 35% of their time in going after new business. So this is why it's important to take sales classes.
Well, or know your values proposition.
Okay.
Yeah. And what I mean by that is that know who you are and what you sell. Right? Because I could have done budgets for the rest of my life, but that's not really what I'm selling. Right? I'm selling a pathway.
Absolutely. And it's a prosperity pathway.
Right. That I'm gonna really always look for what do I do very well?
Yeah.
And then kind of stay in that lane. But, you know, do I have all these other skills? Sure. But that's not like the deal.
Lin-Manuel Miranda, the writer of the play Hamlet and the music. Uh-huh. Not Hamlet.
Hamlet.
No.
Yeah, that was a different guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Shakespeare.
That, yeah. You know, he's
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
He's been dead a while.
Yeah. Okay.
Lin, are you thinking of
the play, the Hamilton?
Famous Hamilton.
Hamilton. Yes, the Hamilton play.
Right.
Okay. Well, he was asked, so young guy, right?
Yeah, and adorable.
He was asked, he was in a very elite group of kids growing up. And so they were all really super smart. And Lin-Manuel Miranda was asked by an interviewer, do you think you're making more money than your counterparts? And he said, yeah. And he said, and the interviewer asked him, well, why do you think that is? And he said, I mean, what made the difference? And he said, I picked a lane.
Yeah, I picked a lane.
So and you are exactly right. You know, pick a lane.
Right. And you know what? I will tell you, I've watched a lot of interviews on that person because I find him completely enchanting.
My daughter is totally
in love. Oh, you know what I love about that person that I think we can all learn from is being willing to have something feel quixotic. You know, that he just fell in love with this story. He couldn't believe it. He couldn't turn it off.
Yeah.
And he was just willing to go
with it
and just kind of, you know, you've heard me say that, right? Make love to it.
Yeah.
You know, make love to it like you just love it and devour it with all of your creativity.
Yeah.
And that part is really a daring effort. I mean, you really have to be willing to forego vulnerability to be able to be like, I'm in. Let's do it. Let's bring it in, right?
I think you're all willing to be vulnerable. So vulnerable that you're putting all your heart into your doings and putting it out into the world for it to be judged.
But you know, not everything he's done has been judged kindly.
Right.
Right. You know, but there is that hunger.
Yeah.
That I think great business people have and what I encourage all consultants to find.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, you've been around me. I am this personality at 5 in the morning. I'm this personality at 10 p.m. at night. You know, that the world is like.
Except for maybe you come down a little bit at 9:30.
Yeah, 9:30, I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's true. 9:30, it's over. I lied. Right. I'm really looking for, you know, some fruity pebbles at 9:30, like some milk just down. But what is interesting about that, the things that you have known, like you can tell if somebody's really in it, if they're really in their work, in their life, in what their compassionate focus is.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes people are here to make money. A lot of us are here to make a life.
Yeah.
And I think that is what consultants do, is they really try to make it kind of fantastic. But with that particular person that we were talking about, one of the reasons that I kind of cherish that person on earth.
Yeah, Lin-Manuel Miranda. Yeah.
Is because it reminds the rest of us to engage with others in all the parts of our creativity.
Yeah.
And if you want to make great money, you have to be willing to engage in all of your gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Or to invest in them or to learn how to do them. I mean, you have
and
to do the
all
work.
The people that he brought with him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He built careers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he what he did is he invited people to dream with him.
Yeah.
To build with him, to, you know, come on to this piece. And you know, that every year I have a summer theme and I invite people to kind of come on to this theme, and it's just for fun. It's just for play.
Yeah.
And what I'm always surprised at is how many people don't get enough time to play.
Yeah.
And I just happen to put it in my business plan. So that makes it a lot easier to be me when we have lots of fun, exciting things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So tip number six is factor in about 30% of your income to go back into marketing. Earmark 30% of the money you make for business reinvestment in all marketing areas.
Yes.
And then track where you're getting the best returns.
Yes.
So 25% is the normal profit you get from consulting to live on if you are a solopreneur.
Yep.
27% goes into taxes.
Right.
Giving
Which
you
most
eight.
People are paying already.
Yep. Right. Right.
And that's a pretty average number.
And then you get 18% to really run your business.
Right.
Which isn't that much money.
As you age, as you have more actual clients, those numbers will change.
Yeah. But
the reality is that I think people like to believe that I charge $100. That means I got $100.
You don't. Because you're not working every single hour. And that's what I think in the consulting business, mm-hmm. we need to remember that, you know, the prep time needs to be paid for.
Yes. Well, it needs to be put into the equation, especially if you're selling out at an hourly rate.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes we're selling a product. Sometimes you're selling a class. I mean, I'm still selling a class I invented 15 years ago.
Yeah. The once a year.
Yeah. That it's still my favorite class to teach. So I'm not done yet. You know, that class is a sellout every year.
Is that the gray market?
Well, that one's also a sellout. It's the monetary identity.
Okay.
Of how you kind of match your values to your resources. And then you kind of figure it out towards your values. So you add this kind of very weird group of things together that kind of adds up all the other stuff. It is truly a life-changing class. So yes, I teach that. But again, going back to putting money back into your business,
yeah,
a lot of people don't know you and they don't know what you do.
Right.
So, but you know, we all want to just go, oh, well, I put it out there, or you know, eh. And you know, I play hardball. I mean, I live my life with numbers. I'm a numbers geek. I'm the most huggable, lovable numbers geek you'll probably ever meet. right. But you know, I solve the world. That's how I function.
Yeah.
Is I like math.
Yeah.
And everything to me is math. Okay, how many minutes did it take to do that? Okay, let's times that, whatever. I mean, I have a calculator. Like when my phone became my calculator, it was life-changing. Because I could just do it like while I'm waiting in line, I can do math. Gosh, well. and what that does is you have to statistically prove that your efforts are worth it.
Yeah.
Because lots of people keep doing something because they just don't know what else to do.
Right. And you said that you've never, that there's never a marketing budget that should be less than 15%.
Yes.
And that's a big percentage when you think about it as far as what people miss when they're financially planning.
Well, I think that that's one of the places that people want to shortcut, and the business research has already done all the math for you, and that is it never doesn't work.
Look at McDonald's; they've never stopped advertising
ever, and you must advertise consistently and persistently to a market that is going to yield.
And I want to do a little myth bust.
Oh yeah,
around. I have had artists tell me that the marketing to them is a sign that you're doing poorly.
Oh, that's so funny.
I know, isn't it?
Isn't that just so different from my life?
Well, it's so, you know, where do we get these information, these ideas? That's not accurate. Yeah.
Artists are one of my favorite groups to hang out with.
Yeah.
I always learn something new.
Right.
Yeah.
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 Absolutely. Okay. So that's a myth buster. Really, you know, make sure that you're factoring in at least 15% for marketing. All right. Number seven, use technology, know technology, understand how to utilize your technology, and basically worship technology. And the reason that Mickey says this is because it's actually your first employee. Many of the things, I remember doing before QuickBooks.
Yeah.
You know, doing all the handwritten stuff or receipts in shoeboxes, which a lot of people still do.
Oh, yes. Yes, they bring them into my office.
That's, oh, you know this. And oh, it's yeah. a trend that won't, you know.
It won't end. And now yeah. we have this terrible ink, so you can't even keep it. Like the receipt I got last week is already gone.
Yeah. And for those who have been in business for a while, keep modernizing. I mean, learn yeah. the technology. It's, you know, like with Facebook, and there's certain things that we should just understand the nature of, like, social marketing. Well, how is it working?
Just how things work. I mean, that...
Yeah, you don't need to do it all.
You don't have to do it yourself. I don't ever encourage you to do it yourself. But I do... You have to understand that the world doesn't work the way it did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. That the world that you are selling in
yep.
or from, right? Many people are still selling or building business models that they built 20 years ago prior to Google.
Yeah.
And that world doesn't exist anymore.
No.
And those ideas don't exist anymore. And for those people who have been working on their consultancy for a long time, if they haven't taken that ride, that train ride, they're missing all of the topography of business right now.
Yeah.
That it is very, it's not a flat road anymore. That it's curves and hills and valleys, and there's lots of, you know, very technical information to being able to deliver service. And those are things like autoresponders, right? If somebody sends you an email, we have the expectation that I know you got my email instantly, right? If we buy something online, I want to know exactly the day you're going to actually bring it to my door.
Right.
Right? For those of you who have stood in line and literally went, oh, I am not doing this, and went to your phone and put on your Amazon and went, I am just going to deliver that to the house. I am done.
Yeah.
Right? That we all have a different appetite and a different expectation of technology. Mm-hmm. And if you are not going to deliver in a technology-friendly environment, you will pay the price for it.
Yeah.
And that's like having somebody like, right? Because like you get an autoresponder from my office of, here's what time your appointment's at. It'll remind you a week in advance. It'll remind you that day, right? It'll
right.
tell you the moment you're supposed to be there.
Yeah.
So you'll get 3 to 5 reminders on an appointment. And for our clientele, they've booked that appointment a year in advance.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have forgotten.
Right, right. Yeah.
So we give them responders so that we can actually make sure they show up to the time that they have asked for.
Absolutely. Very good. And your clientele, mm-hmm. you know, is using technology. So finding out what technologies they're using and what their expectation is for response time as well.
Well, and again, you know, technology can do a lot of things. You use QuickBooks as an example. It's going to, QuickBooks is a really great example because for somebody who's making a six-figure income in consulting, QuickBooks is going to save them probably 10 to 15 hours a month.
Yeah.
You know, when you start looking at what is 180 hours or, you know, that 10 to 15, for me, it was 25 hours.
Yeah.
You know, what would those hours mean for me?
Yeah.
Because I have employees. So everybody's got to, you know, everybody's charging something.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We've got to bring all that data in.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and keep track of it.
Well, keep track of it. What client was it for? What did we do? You know, did we do it as an event or something like that? We have a lot of bookkeeping.
Yeah.
And we have bookkeepers to do that. But they don't have the time to sit and put in that receipt.
Yeah.
They're glad to record it against it. But, you know, we have to use technology also because we all have more tasks than we've ever had.
Yeah.
That, you know, time management is craziness. And we have to manage our time. If I were going to look at a business model, the biggest difference from now in 2018, when we're standing here, even from 2008, just 10 years ago, you know, you would actually leave the house without a phone.
Yeah.
Right. You will not leave the other room. Like people want to know where their phone is at all times. That we have this little magic thing in our pocket that has all of our access to banking. We can read on it. We can access pay bills. I mean, we do everything on that machine.
Yeah.
And that is that is the beauty of technology, is that it can do an incredible amount of time-saving items for you. And it can do it a little bit magically. If you've ever been on, have you been on Facebook?
Yeah.
The thing called Facebook?
And Facebook Live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Facebook Live. But sometimes Facebook will just send you like a little video.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's so cute.
Yeah,
oh,
like a year ago. You've been friends for a year.
Sure. But we've now seen that video for a year and we're all like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, it's time for a new video. Right? Because we're bored.
Yeah.
But it was so cute when they came up with it.
Right.
Right? And they just did it because it was something simple and they're going to send it out to 2.2 billion people as a way to say, I love you and thank you.
Yeah.
You know, if I send out a video to my clients, I use the technology I'm in love with right now is an old piece of technology called Marco Polo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Remember Marco Polo? So I can just literally just give one of my mentees a message from my phone whenever I want. They can pick it up whenever they want. And so now we can have this other piece of very personal face-to-face. They can pick it up whenever they want. I can deliver it whenever I feel like it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you think about your clients other times.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, sometimes I'll Marco Polo them actually from the store to be like, hey, I just need you to know this. I'm bringing this to your next meeting. You know, I bought this for you because, oh my gosh, you need this.
It's, yeah.
And it was a unicorn thing. So that was very funny. But
nice theme.
Right. So technology allows us to be intimate in ways that we never could be.
Yeah.
It allows us to do things faster and it allows us to really expand the conversation.
Absolutely. And we talked when Mike Cabea, mon frère, my brother,
yes,
was on the mic about elephant hunting. And it's a term that's used to define a large client. It's also to make clear the point that there aren't a lot of elephants just sitting around the coffee shop.
Right.
And you were talking about that too. So in terms of sales, what does this mean for if you're shifting how your business model for a consultancy and you want to charge more because you've been doing this work for a long time, you have the skill set to attract the type of client that you feel can pay you more.
Right. Well, the first rule is always to get your bread and butter clients first, right? You're going to need you're going to need to eat every day.
Yeah.
So you're going to need that everyday client. It's got to come in. You've got to be able to have food on the table every day.
I like the snapping.
Yeah. Snap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. You need while to you're doing that. It. While yeah. you're
Let's get that money in, right? Money should be calling you on the phone every day. That if money's not calling you on the phone every day, you better figure out how much more phone time you need.
Okay.
You know, I play hardball because people love to tell me why their business isn't working. And it's a crock. They make all these excuses, and the reality is that if you're not doing things that lead to money, you're going to be hungry.
Yeah.
And so at some point, you got to walk through that. And the elephant hunting piece is that you've got to focus on that bread and butter, but then you've got to focus on these greater clients, and they require that you have your gig together. You've got to have more of your gear together. You've got to, you know, if you're elephant hunting, you have a guide. So if you want bigger clients, you're going to have to have some sort of guide. You're going to need a coach. You're going to need information. You're going to have to be on your game. You're going to have to know where are elephants.
Hey, hire a mentor.
Right. Hire a mentor. Right. But where are those clients? What are they doing?
Right.
You know,
where are they hanging out?
Where are they hanging out? What's their values proposition?
Yeah.
You know, that it is astonishing when you think about what most people want. And in a business relationship, they want a relationship.
Yeah.
They want somebody who cares about them, who is interested in them, who will deliver, even if it's not perfect.
Yeah.
But they want to know that you're there and attentive and that you're going to do the work. And the other piece to that is that we also talked about is that the rules about education have completely changed.
Yeah. Which is number 9.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Yeah. I mean that—
Credentials are real.
Credentials are real. But they will, in this market, at this time, they will not be worth more than real performance.
Right.
And you actually have to prove what you do. You know, LinkedIn changed that for everybody.
Yeah.
Right? That we see your people who worked with you or did your services now have the ability to rate you. And we are all rated. I mean, eBay changed that for business in a different way.
Yeah.
LinkedIn changed that for business,
the
for
professionals.
B2B, for the professionals really differently.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to show that you can do it. I will frequently say to my clients, wow, you know, because I work at Lightspeed, right? I'm here to grow. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's, you know, what do you got? You know,
let's get to work.
Let's get to work. You know, let's give me the numbers. We have to get to where you have to go. And sometimes that also means going through all the crummy stuff as well.
Yeah.
And you have to actually do the work. And I will tell you that it doesn't matter who you are, that I'll say to them, tell me what you've accomplished in the last year. Because, you know, why are you paying me?
Yeah.
What's made it worth it? And when I poise that back to them, one, they're worried that I'm going to, you know, like quit or something, which I'm not. But, you know, that like, why is this worth it? Like, what have you actually accomplished from having this relationship? And I will go, and I'm going to record you right now so we can talk about this in one more year. And I will pull up their video from the year before and I'll be like, this is who you were a year ago. That's impressive. You know, so letting people see their own growth is also some of the things that I think we can do.
Very validating.
It's very validating. And, you know, they did the work. But the reality is that's what keeps people in your chair.
Yeah.
Is that you can actually prove that what you're selling is valuable.
Yeah.
And that you better be prepared.
Yeah.
And that is not a threat. It's truly the greatest gift you can give to everybody.
Yeah.
Is to challenge the work that you do and challenge them to do the work that they need to do.
Yeah, because it's a mutually beneficial relationship. So, I mean, it has to be give and take.
Right.
And you also want to be growing with the client.
Well, and, you know, look, there's so much garbage that we all have to get through. I mean, we all have—
No kidding.
You know, we all have our emotional junk. We all have stuff, just obstacles and, you know, the dark gnarlies that run around in the back of our head and tell us that we're silly and stupid and can't do anything. We all struggle with all of that.
Yeah.
But the reality is that you sometimes have to prove it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what a great mentor can do. You know, that I'm a consultant, so I'm not really here to mentor like you do. But, you know, coaching is helpful. I mean, I needed it. I love coaching for myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody needs that opportunity to be able to prove what's there. The other thing that will happen in going back to elephant hunting is as soon as you know how to prove what you can do, you'll never have trouble elephant hunting again because you got the game.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You got the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's nothing more fun.
So your voice won't go soft again.
Yeah. Okay. I'll do that.
Okay. I'll try it.
Yeah. You know, we yes, I will frequently push more than you like.
And the last one is, the last tip is you are the boss. You need to put in the time to generate the income, the real work. The question to yourself is, would you hire you?
Yeah. Yeah. And I will tell you, I've had to fire myself. Here's the piece I would give to everybody is be willing to fire yourself.
Yeah.
I think I've fired myself at least 100 times.
Yeah.
Because, and you will tell my staff for, like, if I have to go copy something or, like, collate or the hole punch thing.
I'm resigning from that role.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding? They will run and, like, stop me because they know I'm going to screw it up. That they are like, I don't want to have to redo what you're doing. Like, no, do not. Like, I will do that because it's not my gig. It's not my gig. This time, right here, us live, right here.
This is it.
That's my lane.
Mm-hmm.
Is loving people real time, real face.
Yeah.
And hearing them and hearing all of them.
Yeah. Right.
So, but you will learn to fire yourself regularly. I'm terrible at doing my own taxes. I'm terrible at, you know, my own filing. I'm terrible at a ton of stuff. So I also had to figure out how to pay somebody to do that.
Yeah.
And if you're just learning how to make $50,000, it's really hard to think about the fact that you're going to have to pay somebody else $50,000 to do all the things that you didn't want to do.
Right.
So, you know, you have to not just go, oh, I want to make this dollar amount. If you want to do some of these greater, more fun, what's the word that you used?
Life-giving.
Life-giving things, you have to really bring life to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's work.
Yeah.
It's work. You know, if I could give anybody one piece of advice, it's really do the work and fight through all of the
other stuff.
You know, we got a million excuses. We got a million excuses. Have you listened to the woman who wrote the 5-4-3-2-1, that concept?
I'm not familiar with it.
Her name's Mel. It's the 5-second rule.
Okay.
Yeah. It's fantastic. If I were going to give one book recommendation, it would be that, because you really have to outsmart yourself on making of dragging your feet.
And
her whole concept is about hesitation of, you know, you just count down 5-4-3-2-1 and go. And nothing has worked better for me than just to go game on.
Oh, they use that in elementary school too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It works.
Yeah. Every time. And nothing has worked more for me than to just ignore all my demons, to ignore all the reasons that I can't do it, to ask different questions. And to take
it numbers.
Yeah.
5-4-3-2-1. Boom.
We're moving. We're moving.
Okay. Well, that has brought us full circle.
Yes, it has.
Thanks for the math for consultants, our 10 tips. We did the first 5 in our first episode, and then the first time we've
talked.
And
we have a cheat sheet. You have a cheat sheet.
I'll have a cheat sheet for you. And then Mike Cabea joined in after our first 5 tips to get his perspective, because it was mind-blowing conversation we had off the mic with him.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
Yeah.
You should listen to that. You guys, everybody out there should listen to that.
For sure. And thank you for being here for the last 5 tips.
I'm always glad to be here. So thank you, everybody, for listening in.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to hang out with you again.
Great.
All right.
All right. Thanks,
bye.
Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, mon frère, my brother. We'll see everybody next week.